Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. That is today's sermon in a nutshell. If you want to head upstairs for lunch now, these words are those of our Savior. And they call us to a life of evangelism. They are taken from our text for this morning, Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, and I would invite you to turn there with me. If you're using one of the black Bibles from the pew rack in front of you, you'll be able to find our text on page 865. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Notice again our Lord's words in verse 39. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. As commentator James Edwards says, the purpose of the healing of the Gerasene demoniac is not simply to leave readers awestruck at Jesus' power, but to prompt them to consider how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. To help you think through just how much the Lord has done for you, let's consider how much the Lord did for the man in our text. He healed him. He saved him. He changed him. And he commissioned him. First, Jesus healed him. Look again at verse 36. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Jesus healed him of his demon possession. He commanded the demons to come out of the man, and they did. Now you may wonder, where is the connection point for me? I've never been plagued by a legion of demons. In fact, I don't know anyone who has. Am I to think of illnesses or diseases that the Lord has healed me of? Yes, by all means, think of those healings. But don't stop there. As J.C. Ryle notes, while cases of bodily possession by Satan like this are, to say the least, very rarely met with in modern times, yet we must not, on account of this, forget that the devil is continually exercising a fearful power over many hearts and souls. He still urges many in whose hearts he reigns into self-dishonoring and self-destroying habits of life. He still rules many with a rod of iron. He goads them on from vice to vice and from profligacy to profligacy. I hope you know that word. These old writers say great things, and he's like, I got to pull out my dictionary here. He drives them far from decent society and the influence of respectable friends. He plunges them into the lowest depths of wickedness. He makes them little better than self-murderers. He renders them as useless to society as if they were dead and not alive. Yes, demon possession of men's bodies may be comparatively rare, but many, unhappily, are the cases in which the devil appears completely to possess men's souls. These things are fearful to think upon. It is fearful to see to what a wreck of body and mind Satan often brings young people. It is fearful to observe how he often drives them out of the reach of all good influence and buries them in a wilderness of bad companions and loathsome sins. Given what Ryle says, don't you find it interesting that we speak of battling personal demons when we talk about things like drugs and alcohol, or pornography and illicit sex? I find that very interesting. Satan may have never had 2,000 demons inhabiting your body, but tell me, has he ever held sway over your heart and soul? Sure he has. But listen, if you are in Christ, God has healed you of that. In fact, a literal rendering of verse 36 would tell you that he saved you from that. According to Young's literal translation, those also seeing it told them how the demoniac was saved. Jesus saved him. He healed him and he saved him. The Greek word here is sozo, from which we get our word soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. In fact, commentator I. Howard Marshall says that the introduction of the word sozo stresses both the healing of the man and no doubt also, for Luke and his readers, the spiritual saving of the man. In fact, as John MacArthur points out, the man's willingness to forsake all and follow Christ that we read about in verse 38 shows us that he had been delivered from his sin as well as from his demons. Jesus was his Lord, his Savior, his Deliverer, and he naturally wanted to go with him and learn from him. Later on in Luke's gospel, we are going to read of 10 lepers who were cleansed by Christ, katharizo, but only one of whom was made well, sozo. When this one returned to give thanks, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well," or saved you, depending on which English translation you're reading. It's as if Luke saves the word sozo to speak of more than just physical healing. When it's just a physical healing, he'll use something like katharizo. But if there is a spiritual healing as well, you better believe he's trotting out sozo. The Gerasene demoniac was saved. The question is, have you been saved? If so, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. What has He saved you from? Has He saved you from sin? From death? From hell? From the righteous wrath of God that your sins deserve? Tell people about it. Has He saved you from drugs and alcohol or a life given over to pornography? Tell people about it. Think back, if you can, to the baptisms of just over a month ago. Declared to us how God saved him from the false teaching of Islam by grabbing his attention with a dream about Jesus. Tammy talked to us about being saved from the false teaching of Catholicism. Becca talked about being saved from skin-deep Christianity, believing she was a Christian because she was a kind and decent person who regularly attended church. That's not enough, she said. You need to know why Jesus came, died, and rose again. Elena declared to us how God saved her from the idols of TV, of music, and of YouTube creators. Tyler declared to us how God saved him from the god of baseball. Satan will use anything, and I mean anything, to keep you from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If he can use baseball, he is not going to plague you with a legion of demons. That being said, Jesus' power to save is greater than Satan's power to blind. If Jesus can rescue this man plagued by 2,000 plus demons, and where do I keep getting that number from? Let me tell you where I get that number from. From Mark. In Mark's gospel, he tells us that the herd of pigs was about 2,000. A legion was upwards of 6,000 soldiers. And so, just assuming each pig had to have at least one demon to drive it over the cliff, right? We've got at least 2,000, if not more. But if Jesus can rescue this man who was plagued by 2,000 plus demons, he can certainly rescue you. No matter what it is that is keeping you from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, Jesus can command it to flee. And it will. Are you saved? If so, then that is the work of God in Christ. And you need to declare it from the rooftops. Jesus healed me. Jesus saved me. And Jesus has changed me from the inside out. That's the third act that Jesus performs for the Gerasene demoniac. He changes him. John MacArthur tells us that his change was radical, complete, undeniable, and inexplicable from a human perspective. This man is now clothed, not naked. seated at the feet of Jesus, not wandering aimlessly. Away from the tombs, the realm of the dead, and in the presence of the Lord of life. Quiet, not shrieking. Calm and peaceful, not out of control and deadly. Comforted, not tormented. In short, manifesting God-given sanity, not demon-inspired insanity. And what was inexplicable from a human perspective is explained for us in our text, in the person and work of Jesus. It is Jesus who creates change of this magnitude. As Phil Ryken says, Jesus had calmed the restless storm that raged inside his soul, and now he was able to sit quietly and listen to careful instruction. I mean, just imagine what Jesus is teaching him as he's sitting quietly, right? What did he need to know in order to be saved? You can just picture Jesus unfolding the gospel for him. Listen, I've rescued you from demons, but I have come to rescue all mankind, those who will trust in me, from sin, from death, and from hell. I am going to the cross to pay in full for the sins of those who will trust in me. I am going to rise again from the dead. I mean, Jesus wasn't ashamed to tell his disciples these things ahead of time. He knew what was coming. I can just see him unfolding all of this for the Gerasene demoniac. And this man's heart just leaping for joy. Yes, yes, believing each and every word. No longer alone and isolated, he had a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a result, soon he would have many other healthy relationships as well. He was coming back into community. He was also fully clothed. And this too was spiritually significant. Previously, he went around naked, without any sense of modesty or decency. But now, he was wearing proper clothes. The orderly way he was behaving was a sign of the discipline Jesus was bringing to his soul. Is Jesus bringing discipline to your soul? If so, then declare it. Return to your home and declare how much God has done and is doing for you. After all, testimonies are powerful. Michael Green tells the story of being at an outreach event. It was a time that was full of Christians giving testimonies about their Christian life. And at one point, Green recounted a non-Christian professor leaning over to him and whispering, "You know, I don't believe any of this." Green responded, "Yeah, I know. But wouldn't you like to?" And he recounted, with that remark, tears welled up in the woman's eyes. Her head told her no, but her heart yearned to hear. There is something compelling about a well-thought-out description of God's working in a person's life. I know I love to hear a good testimony. And how often hasn't the Lord been pleased to use someone's story to bring another to the foot of the cross? Perhaps he's doing that even now in your heart with the story of this demon-possessed man. Christ healed him. He saved him. He changed him. And he can do the same for you. As the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So come to him. Come to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, we could conceivably end the sermon right there. I mean, we could have conceivably ended after the one sentence that I started with at the beginning. But we could stop here again, too. This is a great place. Oh, Acts 16:31. Many a sermon in this church has been ended with that text. Let's all go. It's lunchtime. Oh, look, I've still got 5 minutes. Okay. Because there's something else. There's something else that God does for this demon-possessed man besides healing him, saving him, and changing him that I want you to see. It's been the focus more or less from the very beginning. Jesus commissioned him. Look again at verses 38 and 39. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. Right? Jesus is setting sail. You guys don't want me around here. I'm out of here. And he's begging him, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Notice how the man who had been freed from the demons wanted to leave his home and go to be with Jesus. Maybe you can relate. Perhaps after coming to faith in Christ, you wanted to leave this sin-filled world and go to be with Jesus, where the Bible tells us there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I want out. Ever been there? I want out. The only problem is he hasn't taken you out yet. Why not? The answer, I think, has everything to do with what Jesus said to the demoniac when he wanted to leave and go with Jesus. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. Now is not the time for you to be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. No. We must work the works of him who sent Jesus while it is day. Because night is coming when no work can be done and we've been commissioned to work. We've been called to carry the gospel to the lost that they might believe and be saved. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We've been called to go. Of course, we need to remember that as we go and tell all that God has done for us, we won't always get a positive response. Consider again what happened when the herdsmen went and told all that God had done for this demoniac. Verse 37 tells us that all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. Not everyone is going to respond positively. But some will. The least likely will. Who do you think would have been more apt to come to Jesus? A herdsman in his right mind or a raving lunatic filled with over 2,000 demons? Who came to Jesus? We have been given a purpose, a calling in life. How's that for another great thing that God has done for you? He's healed you. He's saved you. He's changed you. And he's commissioned you. He's given you a purpose and a calling in life. It's as if Jesus says to you, I've got a mission for you. Go and be a missionary. Go and be a missionary where you are. Isn't that interesting? Return to your home. Yes, God calls some to go overseas with the gospel, and if he's burdened your heart with a particular people group, go and be a witness there. But in the absence of such a burden, don't assume you're without a call. Oh, well, God hasn't called me to the people of Kenya, so I guess, you know, I can just do whatever I want. No. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. God has given you the friends, the family, the neighbors, and the co-workers that he has so that you might be a light to them. Don't miss your calling. Don't miss your calling. Proclaim throughout the whole city how much Jesus has done for you. Amen? Let's pray.